Yeah, as John said, we met about 6 years ago, 5-6 years ago, and it's just been such a joy to kind of go on this journey together. It's a really crazy random thing to try to be a part of a huge thing like American Ninja Warrior, and you go out there, and who was here last night? Who was here last night or yesterday part of the event? Wow. I do want to echo what he said. Y'all are amazing. Y'all pitched in like crazy. There were so many people. We do this all over the place, and sometimes we have, you know, just a few church members. Like, your whole church was there. Like, let's give God glory for that. That was awesome. To put on such an amazing thing for all of you to get out there and serve, that is so cool. That is the only way that things like that type of an event can be possible, is with every person who is using their skills, their gifts, their talents to serve the Lord in that way. And so I want to thank you for partnering with us on that. And so just kind of back to me and what we're doing, I want to just kind of share a little bit more of my story today and then challenge you with a few things this morning to consider what the Lord might be saying to you. I am married. I have two little kids. Two little boys. We can put the picture up there. I think we've got that. All right, that's my wife, Sally. And she is the only reason I'm able to do anything. Can all the men in the room who are married say amen? Amen. Behind every, I don't even know if I'm a good man, every decent man, there's an amazing woman, all right? And so Sally is my rock. And then that's my oldest son, Micah. Micah is a ninja warrior. He just did his first ninja competition the other day. It was really awesome. He got 11th place out of 41 kids. So I don't know if you can tell, but I'm a proud dad, all right? It was pretty awesome. I don't know if I've ever placed 11th, and I've been doing this for like 6 years, all right? And so that was pretty awesome. And then there's Bennett, little Benny Bennett. He is crazy wild, and he is probably going to be a little ninja as well. But our family, we felt called to step away from being a youth pastor to travel around and share the gospel in this really unique way. And so I shared a little bit last night about how I got started, but I want to back up this morning and share how I met Jesus. Anybody else in the room met Jesus? Anybody met Jesus? Man, that's the best thing ever. That should just kind of, the moment I asked that question, if you have a relationship with Jesus, that should have stirred something in your spirit, in your soul. Amen? Man, just knowing that moment when you gave your life to Christ. I was about 5 years old whenever my sister came into the bathroom and I was brushing my teeth and she said, "Hey, Jared, do you want to go to heaven?" And I was like, "Yeah, I don't really know and understand the alternatives, but heaven sounds awesome, right?" And so my dad kind of led me to trust in Christ. And as the years went on, I don't know that I fully understood what was going on in that bathroom, but I believe that was the beginning of me understanding some things about Jesus. And then I got into fifth grade, and I became a little punk. Anybody been there? All right, fifth graders are already out of here, but y'all know what I'm saying, right? Right? And I started to say things I shouldn't say, think things I shouldn't think, do things I shouldn't do, started to struggle with sin, and I started to act like this perfect little kid around my parents and around my teachers and put on this nice show, but around my friends, I was a little hoodlum. Y'all know what I'm saying? All right? I was struggling, right? Like, I was putting on the show, and I started putting on the show from, like, fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, ninth grade, and every night when I'd go to bed, I kind of had a question on my mind. If I died today, would I go to heaven? And I would wonder, am I truly a Christian? Have I truly given my life to Christ? Am I a believer? And I would wrestle with that over and over and over, and it bothered me every single night, especially from eighth grade, ninth grade, going into my 10th grade year. And I would wrestle, and I would wrestle, and I would wrestle, and I would say, am I a Christian? Do I know Jesus? Have my sins been forgiven? And I would wrestle, and I would wrestle, and I would wrestle. And I went to this church camp right after my 10th grade year, and I was at this big camp with like 1,500 people. And I was sitting right about, I don't know, third, fourth row back, and the pastor asked a question. And the question was this: why do we exist? And I sat there and I said, my dad's a pastor. I know about Jesus. I know about God. I know about the love of the Lord. I know that Jesus died for me. I know that he rose from the dead. I know that if you turn from your sin and you believe in Jesus, that you will be forgiven. But I sat there and I said, why am I here? What is my purpose? And I thought to myself, I have no clue. And then the pastor wanted people to shout out answers. And people around the room were shouting out answers. And this pastor was like, no, 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 no. And I was like, just sitting there like, please tell me, why am I here? And then someone up in the balcony of that camp shouted out something that changed my life. What was the question, guys? Why do we exist? And someone up in that balcony shouted this: to glorify God. And I sat there and I said, oh my goodness. For me, it was all about making sure I was going to go to heaven. Is that important? Yes. I didn't want to go to hell. Everybody with me on that? Right? That was what it was kind of all about for me. But in that moment, I realized it's more than that. Yes, that's super important. But it was more than that I wanted to have a relationship with the God of the universe, the God that said, let there be light, and boom, there was light. the God that has all the power, the God that not only has all that power, but he also cares about you. He knows every hair on your head or lack thereof, right? And that God knows you, and that he loves you, and that he wants you. And then that moment, I said, you know what? I want to give glory to God with my life. And it took me one more day. I was kind of hard-headed, but I was embarrassed. I was supposedly was this perfect, like, Christian kid, pastor's kid, but I had been playing the game. And so one more day at church camp, the next day, I stood up during the invitation, and I heard my friends who thought I was like Mr. Awesome Christian. I was the president of Fellowship of Christian Athletes at my school, and I was not a real Christian. And I stood up and I said, I need a relationship with Jesus. And I walked outside and I grabbed one of the youth workers at my church. Any youth workers in here? Anybody? Hey, let's give it up for the youth workers, all right? Let's give it up for them, man. One of the youth workers came with me and he said, man, I think you know what to pray, right? I had led people to Jesus myself, but I had never truly given my heart to Jesus. And so I finally give my life to Jesus. And I know that at that moment, Jesus's perfection overcame my imperfection. And now when God looks at me, he does not see my past. He does not see my sin. He sees that I am covered. Amen? That I am a child of God. And so it took just turning from sin and believing in Jesus. And I entered into a relationship with Jesus and it all started. Do you think I'm perfect now? No, just ask my wife, right? No, but Jesus covers my sin. And now I want my life to give glory to God. So the next year I go to another church camp. I believe church camp's pretty important. Y'all believe that? All right. So I go to church camp and the pastor's preaching on just surrendering your life to God. Like what is God's plan for your life? And I said, you know what? I think I'm called to ministry. I don't know what ministry. I don't know if that's being a youth pastor, being a pastor. And so I went in the back of the camp and I said, God, whatever door you open, I will walk through. And then I go to college. I thought I was going to play football or basketball, but as you can tell, that probably wasn't going to work out. Right? And so I get to college and the Lord said, you're putting sports in front of me. And he said, you have to give up playing sports. And I said, God, that's hard, but okay. And as an 18-year-old dummy, I became a youth pastor. All right. I had no clue what I was doing, but the Lord opened a door at a small, tiny church, opened a door for me to be a youth pastor of 5 kids and got to start learning how to teach kids to follow Jesus, got to start learning how to lead kids to know what it's like to give glory to God with their life. And I started to use sports to connect with kids. About 3 or 4 years later, some of my students said, hey, dude, have you ever seen American Ninja Warrior? And anybody in here watch the show? Is anyone in here? All right, you watch the show? You know, you want to see John, but also it's kind of fun, right? See the people who, you know, see the people who wipe out and, you know, you see the people who do awesome stuff, run up an 18-foot wall, like all that crazy stuff. And so I was like, yeah, I've seen Ninja Warrior. And I'm going to share a little bit of what I shared last night, but a little faster version that I'd watched the show and I thought, you know what, I can do that. Anybody out there think they can do it? You know, you watch it and you know, before you saw the muscle-ups today, who thought they could do it, right? There's a few of y'all out there. I know they're all right. But I would think I could do that, but I would sit on my couch and eat Doritos and think I could do it, all right? And so I would sit there and then my student said, dude, you should really try to do it. So I actually sent in a submission video and then I did not get a call. And so I was kind of like, I guess I'll move on. I've got a family. I've got a youth pastor job. I don't need Ninja Warrior. And so I gained 30 pounds in a year. Anybody else been there? All right. I just started eating a bunch of good food. God's gift to the world is Blue Bell ice cream. All right. And so I was just eating up, man, just enjoying life. And then a year later, after not getting that call, I got a call from American Ninja Warrior saying, we like you, we like your story, we didn't pick you last year, but we want to pick you this year, but you need to make a new video, send it in, and we're probably going to pick you. And I was like, yes. And then I was like, oh no. I gained 30 pounds, what do I do? But I had a goal. If you were there yesterday, help me out. I wanted to do what? Hit the buzzer. So hit the buzzer. And tell the world about Jesus. And so I said, I'm going to do something. I'm going to lose 10 pounds in 10 days. That was the first goal. Did it. I only had about 30 days to make this video. I lost 30 pounds in about 30 days. I made a video with a bunch of my students, sent it in. They picked me to be a competitor on Ninja Warrior, but I had never been on a ninja course before. All right, this was before you could train on ninja courses. They weren't all over the place. And so I said, what do I do? So I ran a lot. I did pull-ups. I ate better. And then I showed up. And do y'all want to see what happened the first time? All right, here we go. There I am, 2014, season 6. John made it to the 5th obstacle that year because he's a beast. They show it in slow-mo. Don't worry if you missed it. Yeah. There we go. I made it about, 12 seconds of fame. So what did I want to do? I wanted to hit the, tell the world about, but I got hit in the head with a log. Yeah. Man, have you ever wanted to do something awesome and you just failed? Man, I wanted to do something I thought was going to be so cool. I was going to be one of these big shot celebrity ninja warrior guys that was going to do something for the Lord, but man, I looked like a total doofus, right? Just did not work out. But you know what? I know this is super simple. We teach it to two-year-olds, three-year-olds, but let's just say it like we mean it. What do you do when you fall down? You get back up. You get back up. Man, I was going home that night, and I was really embarrassed, and I was like, man, what do I do from here? And I felt like the Lord said, get back up, try out for the show again, and I was like, you know what? I think I looked more like the old show Wipeout, the Ninja Warrior, but okay, God, I'll try again. And then I tried again. That they didn't put me on TV the next year, but they picked me, and I got to run the course. They only put about 30 of the competitors on TV. Have y'all been through that with John before? Where, yeah. All right, so you know, they told me in season 7, you're going to be on the show in 10 minutes in, and I watched it, and I was like, 10, 11, 12, and they never put me on. I was like, man. But I made it past the second obstacle. Can y'all make me feel good about that? Because I fell on the third obstacle, and it was a log. Another log, right? And so now two logs have taken me out. I want to take chainsaws to every log I see, all right? I don't like logs. So then the next year, I did not get a call. Surprise, surprise, because I hadn't done very good. So season 8, I get no call. Season 9, I get no call. But in season 8, I got a call from a church camp that said, hey, we know it didn't go how you wanted it to, but we know your passion for Jesus. And we know your passion for Ninja Warrior. Come be a camp, like late night entertainment. And I was like, sweet, cool. I hung up and I was like, what am I going to do? I have a ninja course. I don't know what I'm going to do. My dad and I sat down, drew up some plans at a Whataburger. Who likes Whataburger? All right. And we made a ninja course. And then some guys in our church, they're like, hey, that's cute. That's pretty good. But we can make a really nice one. Who liked the course last night? That was a pretty cool course, right? So some guys in my church literally just said, hey, we can weld, we can make some stuff. They made that and donated it to our ministry. And we just started doing some events, just kind of on the side. I was a youth pastor just on the side doing these events. And we're like, wow, one of the first events, 5 teenagers give their life to Christ. And we're like, what? This is awesome. We're just playing around. And then I talk about Jesus and 5 kids start a relationship with Jesus. And so I was like, this could be a thing. So we start traveling around a little more. And then we're like, wow, we're doing this like every weekend. We're seeing people give their life to Christ. Now, guys, it's become a full-time ministry. We're a nonprofit ministry, Overcoming Obstacles Ministries. We've done we've done 159 events, including this event. We've seen over 46,000 people play on our course. That's 46,000 people who've been encouraged, that have heard the name of Jesus, that have been explained a clear gospel presentation. And here's what's the coolest thing. I shared this yesterday. Over 1,200 people have started a relationship with Jesus at these Ninja Warrior events. Let's give God glory for that. So here's what I want you to see. How did I do on Ninja Warrior? Just be honest. Thank you. Thank you for the encouragement. I'm just joking. I did bad. Sometimes kids are ruthless. They're like, terrible. So I did bad, right? It didn't go as planned. I totally failed, right? But God picked me up. And this is for you. This is for you. This is for you. This is for you. God picked me up. He said, your failure does not define your life. Amen? Your failure does not define you. You know what defines you? That God loves you. That God created you in his image. That God formed you in your mother's womb. That he sent his son Jesus. He cared about you so much that despite your failure, Jesus came down and he died for your sins. He put nails in his hands, nails in his feet, a crown of thorns. He bled out and he died for you because he doesn't think your failure defines you. He thinks that he can save you. He can turn you around. He can give you purpose. You can use your gifts, talents, and passions to give glory and honor to God. And you can change this broken world and you can spend eternity with Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. That's what it's all about. And so I think it's pretty cool that I didn't do good on Ninja Warrior. Like, I wish I would have done good. But I think it's pretty cool because God picked me. God's picked John. God's picked some other Christian ninjas that are doing some cool stuff. And he said, hey, even though you haven't done well, watch me use you. And I hope it inspires you. As just people who are just doing your everyday life, I hope it inspires you that God can use you too. I hope it inspires you that whatever you're doing, that you think, man, I can't do this, I can't do that. Moses said, man, I can't speak. Man, God ended up using him to change the world, right? Like, don't let your limitations, don't let your failures keep you from doing the God-sized dreams he's put in your heart. Man, this city is needing Jesus. This country needs Jesus. This world needs Jesus. And you have Jesus. If you have a relationship with him, man, don't let, you can see, think, man, I've got this sin struggle. Man, I've been struggling with this addiction. Man, God can't use me yet. Shut up. Amen? I'm leaving today, so I can say that, right? Don't let that stuff stop you. Overcome. Man, don't let your sin struggles, don't let your pain. Man, sometimes we just go through hard things. Hard things. They're real things. Like, I can tell you right now, man, like, there's a young man. I was his youth pastor for 4 years. Right now, he got in a car accident this week. And just pray for Jacoby Crownover. He got in a car accident. He's in a medically induced coma right now. Hit his head. Man, I'm hurting right now. Mike's his cousin. Pray for Mike. Pray for his family. We're hurting. Our community's hurting. We go through stuff. Everybody been there? Man, you go through stuff. And as you're going through that stuff, man, you can say, man, I'm not ready to be used by God because I'm still dealing with the sin or I'm still dealing with this pain. In the midst of that, we've got work to do. We've got work to do. We've got a broken world that's dying and going to hell and missing out on what they were made to do. And we have the answer. We have the answer. In season 8, I did not get the call. Season 9, I did not get the call. Season 10, I did not get the call. But John came down from Oklahoma all the way down to Dallas, and we did what's called the walk online. Has he told y'all about that? The walk online. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen, all right? You get in this line, and you literally take a selfie. They've changed it. Now it's a lottery where you just show up on the day of. Kendall doesn't think it's dumb because Kendall was picked in the lottery this year, number 3 in line, and he beat the whole course. Let's give it up for Kendall. How cool is that? All right? But last year, John and I were in this line. That's how I met Kendall as well. He was in the line. And we checked in. And you just checked in every day and just took a picture in front of a sign in a Facebook group. And that's how you checked in. Is that not just dumb? It's not professional at all, right? And so we took this picture, and we take this picture every day to prove that you're still checking in line. And I checked in for like 21 days or something. It was ridiculous. And so John went above and beyond, coming all the way down to Dallas. It was awesome. I was number 16 in line. What number were you? 3. He was number 3 in line. John, what number were you at, John? 23, all right? And so you don't know how many walk-ons they're going to run. They ran 5 at the beginning of the night. They ran 5 in the middle of the night. If you didn't know, they filmed Ninja Warrior overnight. They ran 5 at the beginning, 5 in the middle. At the end, they said, we're going to try to run all the walk-ons. How'd you feel about that, John? You're pretty excited, right? I was pretty excited. We start warming up. We're like, we're going to get to run because they've run 10. They said, we're going to try to run all of you. We're like, sweet. This is awesome. We're warming up. They run number 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, and they said the night's over. What number was I? I was 16. I was like, are you kidding me? What is happening here? I've been up all night. I've been checking in for 21 days. I know John was just a few numbers behind. We're like, this is terrible. But you know what? In the midst of that, do you know what gave me peace? Jesus. Jesus. Because it's, you know, who cares if I ever get on a television show? Who cares if I ever actually reach this goal of hitting the buzzer and telling the world about Jesus? That may not be God's ultimate plan. I hope it is. But in the midst of this, in the midst of my little journey, I am going to try to tell as many people about Jesus as I can. Amen? And in the midst of your journey, maybe you've had a letdown. Man, I was super let down that night. I had trained forever. I didn't get to even try it. But in the midst of your journey, whatever your thing is, just keep going. And when people, you know, see you in the midst of that struggle, see you in the midst of that disappointment, and they see that you're positive, they see that you have your eyes focused on Jesus, they see that your whole life revolves around the Lord, and you know that this is not your home, and that one day you're going to go to an eternal home where you're not going to have any more disappointment, no more tears. Man, this is not the end. Amen? So in the midst of that, man, I was super disappointed, but then this year I made a new video, I sent it in, and they actually picked me to be back on the show. It was really awesome. John got to be a walk-on, number 2, right? Number 3. I was a callback. I got to run the course about 1:30 in the morning. Now, where have I fallen so far? On the second obstacle and on the third obstacle. All right, so I had a goal. I wanted to hit the buzzer. Tell the world about Jesus. All right, I've fallen on number 2, number 3, so I had to get up there. I don't have the video this morning, but I'll tell you about it. All right, I get up there. I beat the first obstacle. I beat the second obstacle. I get to the third obstacle. I barely beat it, but I was feeling good. I had got through that in like about around a minute. I'm one of the fastest kind of through that point. And then the fourth obstacle is called the diving boards. Everybody say diving boards. So I've fallen on 2 logs, and then you've got the diving boards right here. You had to run across 3 boards that are on like those. Have you ever seen the playground thing that's like got a spring, and you kind of like rock on the, you know, little deal, right? But they just put a like 2x4 on top of that. And he's like, run across it. It's like, okay. And so I run, and my first step's kind of bad. And so it kind of springs up, and I trip, and I hit my face really hard, right? Right on the diving board. Another girl hit her nose, broke her nose, had a concussion. It was crazy. If I had turned my face like this much, I would have probably had a concussion and broke my nose as well. I hit my cheek right here, but I fall again. I fall in the water. So now I've fallen on the second obstacle, do you know what? What do you do when you fall? Get back up. Man, I'm going to keep trying as long as they'll let me send in these videos, all right? And I'm going to keep trying, and I'm going to keep trying, and I'm going to keep trying. My son told me, hey, Dad, you've fallen on the second, the third, the fourth. If you go for like 27 more years, you'll beat the whole show. Like, thanks, son. Thanks for the encouragement. Appreciate you, dog. That's awesome. But here's the deal. I feel like God's called me to this. And I want to ask you, what's God called you to? What has God called you to? Maybe God's called you to mow lawns. Maybe God's called you to be a firefighter. Maybe God's called you to be a teacher. Maybe God's called you to be a pastor. Maybe God's called you to be a missionary out in as your full-time thing. Maybe God's called you to be a ninja warrior evangelist. I don't know, you know? That was a joke. I don't know. But God's called you to something. But I think a lot of us are not living out our calling. And I think the reason is sin and pain. Everybody say that? Sin? Pain. I think that's the reason. Maybe more reasons. I'm not the smartest guy in the room, but those are the two I've come up with, right? Sin and pain. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. As you're turning there, I'll kind of catch you up to what's going on in this story. This is David. And Samuel talks about David making a big mistake. I'm not going to go into all the details of that because, you know, this is PG, all right? But David makes a mistake with Bathsheba, commits adultery. He ultimately kind of commits adultery and murder, makes some terrible mistakes. And in the midst of his mistakes, he had a good friend named Nathan. Everybody have a good friend? And I hope you have a friend like Nathan who's willing to tell you straight up, hey, you're an idiot, all right? And Nathan goes to David and he tells him a little story. And Nathan says, hey, David, let me tell you about a rich man and a poor man. He says, the rich man had a huge flock, so many sheep, so many cattle, all this. He's got everything he needs. And then there was this poor man who had one little baby sheep, one little sheep. And the rich man had a friend, a traveler, come and stay with him. And the rich man said, hey, let's have a party. You know what? I'm going to take that poor man's one little sheep, and we're going to use it for our meal. And David's listening to Nathan, and he's like, man, that's messed up. He says, that's messed up. That rich man is messed up. He took that poor man's one thing that he had. And Nathan looked at David square in the eyes, and he said, you're the rich man. He says, David, you're the king of Israel. You're the king. You have everything you want. And you took Uriah's wife. You took the one thing he had. You are messed up. Everybody in here, are you also messed up? I'm messed up. We're all messed up. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. David had made some major mistakes, and you might think, I haven't committed adultery. I haven't committed murder. Well, you have done those in your heart. Jesus says, if you even lust in your heart, you have committed adultery. If you hate in your heart, you have committed murder. And so all of us, are we all on the same playing field with David? Everybody raise your hand if you're on the same playing field. If you're a sinner, raise your hand. Don't be too proud. Raise your hand. All right? Raise your hand. There we go. We're all on the same playing field. And David hears this from Nathan. You are the rich man. You are messed up. And David finally comes to his senses. And Psalm 51 captures David's remorse, captures David's confession of his sin, wanting to get right with God. And here's what I wanted to challenge you with today. You were all made for a purpose. The question that pastor asked whenever I received Jesus is, why do we exist? And what was the answer? All right, everybody get involved with that. Why do we exist? To glorify God. And we let our sin get in the way of glorifying God. We're going to trip up. We're going to sin. But maybe this morning you walked in here and you've been walking in sin and you feel very far from God. This morning I want to invite you back. Just like David, he confesses his sin and he gets right with God and he gets back in the ballgame of giving glory to God. Maybe this morning you've been walking in sin. And I want to invite you just to that confession. Let's look at what David says to the Lord. Psalm 51 verse 1 says this, be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from sin. Here's what David's saying. He's saying that God's grace is greater than your sin. Amen? God's grace is bigger than your sin. You could sin a bajillion times. That's not even a real thing. A bajillion times, and God would forgive you a bajillion and one. God has more grace than you can sin. You can't out-sin God's grace. And David has committed some dumb things, but he believes that his God can forgive him. This morning, if you've been walking in sin, you're like, it's too much. God can't forgive me. That's not true. Confess it. Verse 3, for I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Here's what David does. He does not blame Bathsheba. If you know the story, you know he could have blamed Bathsheba. But here's what he says, against you, I have sinned. My transgressions. Y'all see that there? He's not blaming everybody. We live in a culture where people are blaming everybody else for their problems. Amen? Man, we don't need to blame anybody else for our problems. Maybe, now let me be honest, maybe some people have hurt you. Maybe somebody's done something against you. That's not your fault, right? That's not your fault. If people have hurt you, that is not your fault. But you know the things you have done that are your fault. Take responsibility. This morning, if you're not living out your calling, if you're not using your passions to serve the Lord, maybe it's because of sin, and maybe you've been blaming others. Quit blaming others and accept the responsibility like David does here. And it says, God, against you, I have sinned, and I am sorry. This morning, I invite you to confess and to take responsibility. Let's look at verse 5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Now, I just said he took responsibility. It seems like here he might be blaming his mom for his sin. Right? He's not blaming his mom. He's saying, I've been a sinner since I was born. Verse 6, behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop. Hyssop's a cleansing agent we could talk about a lot, but just for the sake of this, he's saying, make me clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. David's saying over and over and over, God, make me clean. God, make me clean. I am sorry. Maybe this morning you are not fulfilling your purpose in life because you've been walking in sin. I invite you to confess your sin. Say, God, make me clean, make me clean, make me clean. And God is going to answer you the first time, and he's going to wash your sins away, and he's going to help you get on the process, get on the journey of leaving those things behind and fulfilling the purpose that you've been called to. Amen? Yeah. This morning, confess your sin. Get it right. Because here's what happened. Here's what will happen. This is beautiful. Verses 1 through 12, David saying, make me clean, make me clean, make me clean. And then verse 13. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. When you get right with God and you confess your sins, something happens. Something happens. People around you start to get right with God. Amen? When you get right with God, people around you will start to see what you have, and they will be converted as well and want to follow Jesus. So, saying I heard from an older man in one of my churches I served at, John Richard, he was 90 years old when he told me this. He said, revival begins with me. Man, we can want revival in America all day long, but if you do not confess your personal sin, you're not going to see it. Revival begins right here in my personal heart. And if it begins in me, and it begins in you, 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 man, then we got revival spreading. And then transgressors will be converted. Sinners will be converted. We will see people start to follow Jesus, and this community can continue to see people on fire for God. This morning, if you're struggling with sin, confess it. I think the things keeping us from fulfilling our purpose are sin, and I also said pain. This morning, if you're hurting, like I shared, I'm honestly hurting this morning. I don't know what's going to happen to my friend. It's got me all messed up. And in the midst of that pain, I'm saying, God, heal me. Do you know what Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says? It says that Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Anybody in here need rest today? And maybe you've been working 40, 60, 80, 120 hours a week. I don't know. and you're tired. Or maybe you've got some sort of tough scenario going on and you're just tired emotionally. Man, come to Jesus this morning. Come to Jesus this morning. He will give you rest. It says in 1 Peter 5:7, cast your cares upon the Lord. And he wants to take them. He wants to carry your burdens for you. And if you've been worrying, man, my mom's a worrier. Anybody else in here struggle with worry? Just be honest. I heard some giggles, all right? Like, yeah. Man, be anxious for nothing. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for. Why? Because God has got this. God is in control. It says in Matthew 6 that he knows everything about the sparrows. He knows everything about the birds. Man, he's going to care even more for you. Seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will work out. And if you're walking in sin, if you're walking in pain, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. So far this morning, I've been talking to people who already know Jesus. If you have a relationship with Christ, in a moment, we'll start the invitation. And I want to invite people in a moment to come down to the altars. If you are already a Christian and you would say, I'm walking in sin, I'm walking in pain, I just need to pray. I mean, there's nothing like supernatural about the altars. Did y'all know that? It's just steps, all right? Do you know what it is? It symbolizes to your community, it symbolizes to the Lord that you are humble enough to say, I don't have this on my own and I need help. And I'm going to come down and I'm going to pray. And when you come down and pray, you know what usually happens? Somebody comes down and meets you there. They pray with you. Put a hand on you. They may not know what to say, but they just pray silently. They may pray out loud. It's beautiful. This morning, if you're already a Christian, I invite you during this time of invitation to come down, to pray, to show that you are not too proud to handle things on your own, but that you need the help of the Lord and the help of your community to overcome the challenges you're facing in your life. But I also want to talk to you people in this room that may not have a relationship with Jesus. We've kind of walked through this a little bit this morning, but if you're here this morning and you're like me, maybe you were playing the game. Man, from 5th grade to 10th grade, I was playing the game. It was not real for me. I was more concerned about going to heaven and just not going to hell than actually glorifying God with my life. If you're here this morning and you've never really started a relationship with Jesus, it's very simple. It's very simple. It's the biggest decision you could ever make, but it's very simple. Here it is. God loves you. You have sinned. You deserve to be punished for your sin. But Jesus loves you so much. Jesus left heaven above, perfect Jesus, left heaven above to come down to this broken world and to live amongst sinners. And then he died. He said, you deserve the punishment of death, but I will die in your place. I will be your substitute. I will take your place. And Jesus took the nails, took the crown of thorns, and he died for you. You hung Jesus on the cross. I hung Jesus on the cross with my sin, with your sin. And 3 days later, Jesus comes back to life. Matthew 28:6, one of the best verses in the Bible. He is not here, he has. He is not here, he has. He is risen. Jesus overcame. The biggest overcomer ever. Comes back to life. And he offers to every person who's willing to listen, who's sensitive to the drawing of the Holy Spirit. If you will just do two things, repent. Everyone say repent. And believe. Those two things. Turn and believe. You will start a relationship with the Father. If you're here this morning and you've never started a relationship with Jesus, I'd love to help you do that. We're going to go into our time of invitation. At this time, I'd like to ask everyone to bow their heads and to close their eyes, and we'll begin that process. But go ahead and bow your heads and close your eyes. If you're here this morning and you would say, Jared, you're talking to me. I have never started a relationship with Jesus. I'd like to say a simple prayer just kind of to coach you and help you start a walk with God. If you've never done that, you could say this to the Lord. I don't want you to say it out loud right now. Just quietly in your mind from your heart. You can express to God that you want to turn from sin and believe in Jesus. You could say this. You could say, Dear God, I believe you love me, but I've messed up, I've made mistakes, and I'm sorry. I understand that the Bible says I should be punished for my sin. But I believe Jesus was punished for me. I believe Jesus died in my place. I believe Jesus rose from the dead. God, please forgive me of my sins. Please wash my sins away. I don't want to go against you. I don't want to lead my life. I want to follow you. I give my life to you. I give up. I surrender. I give my life to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you just prayed that with me, make sure you're listening closely to this. If you're here today and you just prayed that with me to begin a relationship with Jesus, if you just prayed that for the first time, would you look at me right now? If you just prayed that for the first time, just look up. If you're looking at me, just kind of make eye contact with me when I scan the room. If there's anyone looking, in a minute I'm going to pray, and when I say amen, I'm going to step down. I'd love for you to come down and say, Jared, I prayed with you. I started a relationship with Jesus. But everyone else, when I finish my prayer, if you've been walking in sin, if you've been walking in pain, and you just need to tell the Lord, I need help. I'm ready to overcome. I'm ready to fulfill my calling. I'm ready to use my gifts, my talents, my passions to reach this broken world. If you would like to come down to these altars and pray by yourself, pray with a friend. When I say amen, we will all stand. And you're welcome to come down to these altars. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. Thank you for the opportunity to worship together. Thank you for the opportunity to travel to this wonderful church family who has been so hospitable and so kind and so passionate about their community to put on an event like this that reached hundreds and hundreds of people yesterday. God, we give you glory, honor, and praise. It's not one person, it's not a group of people. It's all because you did it and we got to just be a part of it. And we thank you for that, God. Lord, I pray in this invitation right now, people who are struggling, that they will not leave this building until they have dealt with the conviction you have placed on their heart. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Let's stand together. If you would like to come down for prayer as the band plays, come down, deal with whatever you need to deal with this morning.